So, for our workplace discussion today, we welcome Beth Kobliner, takeaway contributor and author of Get a Financial Life, Personal Finance in Your 20s and 30s. She's in the studio down in New York, and Sharon Mears was a Goldman Sachs executive, managing director for 16 years, a co-author of Getting to 50-50, How Working Couples Can Have It All by Sharing It All. Good morning to you both.
Hi, John.
Good morning.
So Beth and Sharon, here's the question I want to ask you. For most of their working lives, probably all of their working lives, women have had to deal with the famous glass ceiling. You rise so far and then no farther. But in this recession, men are dealing with an earthquake on the floor. Nearly 80% of people laid off in the recent recession are men. I'm wondering, based on what you're seeing, do you think the overall relationship between men and women in the workplace and the proportion of men to women in the workplace is going to permanently change because of this recession, Beth?
Well, we don't know if it's permanently going to change, but we certainly are seeing major change. As of November, it's expected that for the first time ever, there'll be more women than men in the workplace, which is sort of this, you know, dramatic revolution that's been taking place, but nobody's really talking about it that much. Also, we're seeing that more married women have unemployed husbands than ever before. A record 21% of married women have unemployed husbands. Husbands aren't working. So the question is, are we going to start seeing the real Mr. Moms, men, you know, doing the laundry and taking all those household jobs, whereas women are...
That'd be great.
That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be lovely. Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at the numbers, right now, 97% of all primary caretakers are women.
Still.
So,
wow.
Still. So I think there's this sort of notion of, wow, this is great for women. Is this, you know, even though it's been a very tough time for men, is this good for sort of women and the fact that they're still earning 77 cents for every dollar men are, will that change? And I'm afraid the answer may be no. I think maybe everybody's wages now are going to start coming down.
Well, Sharon Mears, what are you seeing? I mean, do you think there are permanent changes, any positive opportunities for women in this environment?
Well, I think, as Beth says, the change isn't going to come from this alone because the numbers are saying 80% of job losses are male, and it's largely because they were in more vulnerable, high-earning positions. So women are getting to keep their jobs as nurses and teachers, which are great jobs, but typically are part of the equation that has women earning less than men for the same hours of work. But what I think is good about this is a reminder that women really matter as breadwinners, that families rely on women's ability to earn a good wage. And we often forget that, and that often isn't part of the debate when we think about how we get more women to the top and more women involved in making the kind of policies that would change women feeling like they have to be the primary caregivers at home.
Well, that's the question that I have, Beth. Doesn't this sounds like a raw deal for women, because we're right. The ones that are out working all day and then we're still coming home and taking care of the house and the kids? This sounds like a step back.
Right. At first I was celebrating. I'm like, oh, this is great. You know, this is finally, will there be this power shift? Will there be, you know, women will no longer be a minority in the workplace? And then I thought, wait a second, you know, that just means you're going to be under more pressure and doing even more. So I think we are seeing, to be fair, many more men now in situations if they're married and they have kids and the wife is working, the husband will be the one taking care of the kids. I think we'll see that happen incrementally. But economists are telling me that when the economy does turn around, that we may see that shift back, that women tend to not work if they can afford to. I mean, one group we're forgetting completely is the 20% of families that are headed by single household, you know, single women. And that's a group that doesn't have the luxury of saying, gee, I, you know, don't feel like work, you know, I can't work, or
right.
I don't want to work if the economy's good.
Well, actually, in Getting to 50-50, our book, one of the things we talk about were some surprising statistics that among married women, if you look at women from the lowest income quartile to the highest, more or less the same percentage of women don't work when they become mothers. It's about a third. So this idea that it's just about whether you can afford to work,
mm-hmm.
We came to believe is something much more complicated. It's about, it's cultural. It's whether people believe that it's good for moms to work. And a lot of that relates to what we're talking about, which is helping men understand how valuable it is for husbands to have a wife with a good income, and how much men need to contribute to taking care of kids and taking care of the household so that women can be freed up to have those good jobs. And that's what we
talked
about.
Well, Sharon, let's explore that a little bit. I mean, what do men have to put aside? What do couples have to put aside about the myths of being a healthy married couple to actually do what you say in the book working couples can do if they share it all?
Well, one big surprise for me was a 2006 study that the University of Chicago published, and it said that over the last 20 years, if you look at the data, the couples with the lowest divorce risks with the highest probability of staying married are the couples who most evenly share both earning and housework. So the idea that, you know, having a traditional setup where the priority for making money is on the man and the woman takes over the traditional role of nurturing and is not so engaged in making money turns out to result in higher divorce risk.
Right.
And
well, I mean, that it sort of makes sense, but it's a sort of a life or death issue in a recession where couples really need to have two incomes to maintain their quality of life. Sharon Mears, just hold on there. Goldman Sachs executive, co-author of the book Getting to 50-50, How Working Couples Can Have It All by Sharing It All. Beth, before we go, we've got to talk about people entering the workforce, mm-hmm. young people who aren't married, who aren't couples. What are these big changes between men and women in the workplace going to mean for people entering the workforce for the first time?
It's hard to know, but there are some very positive studies that I came across. For example, women bosses tend to fight harder for their lower level employees than men. A Harvard study showed that women get 18% more for their workers than male bosses do. So
wow.
Maybe you'll have an advocate out there fighting for you a little harder. That's one.
All right, and of course, the low pay scale helps the managers keep their budget down, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one reason you say, "Oh, how great! Women did much better during this recession." That's because they're making less money, so they're, you know, people are being laid off who are making the higher income. So it's a sort of dual-edged sword there.
All right. Maybe some changes to the glass ceiling, but maybe not permanent changes in this recession. Sharon Mears, co-author of Getting to 50-50, How Working Couples Can Have It All by Sharing It All. And of course, our friend Beth Koblenner, takeaway contributor and author of Get a Financial Life, Personal Finance in Your 20s and 30s. Thanks, Sharon and Beth.